This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Chris, grab that Tim Kaine audio from yesterday because we got a question about it here. Hey, Jesse, after Tim Kaine's anti-God comments about our inalienable rights, will religious leaders finally condemn the Marxist Democrats for being the party of Satan and evil? Thanks again for leading the fight for our side. Well, there is a mentality that has seeped into Western civilization over time, years and years and years and years and years. And this mentality is, well, for one, let's rewind a little bit. We always saw ourselves, from the inception of this country, the United States of America, we saw ourselves as being better and different. And not better in a snobby way necessarily, although I guess you could look at it that way. But our founders, the people who founded this country, not just the founding fathers, the people who came over here, established a country, saw themselves as a people as different than how other countries around the world had always operated. They just saw themselves that way. And from way back, you know, that they would look at the Romans, and they had admiration for a lot of things the Romans did, but that whole conquering everyone around you thing, no, we're better than that. Now, that's funny because we were busy conquering North America, but it doesn't matter. We were always twisted up about that. I know your stupid history teacher told you otherwise, but America was always twisted up and always having a moral fight with itself about what to do with the Indians. What do we do? Is it right? Do we just take it? Do we leave them have it? That was a constant fight here, because we saw ourselves as better. Most countries historically would have just said, get out or we'll kill all of you. And by the way, there's no reservations either. You assimilate or we'll cut your freaking head off. That's how most countries have handled it, not America. Well, no, hold on. We still have reservations to this day. That's how we always saw ourselves, better and different. We don't do things like other people do things. We're different. Now, that can be good, obviously. And it also, like many good things, it can be twisted into something that's terrible, that's bad. America, when it comes to Christianity, no matter your belief system, America has been a haven for Christian people unlike anything the world has ever seen before. You could just practice openly here. I've told you before, at the founding, the different colonies we had, they were actually different branches of the church, and oftentimes they fought with each other all the time, the Quakers and the Puritans. Like, this state had these people, and that state had those people, and that they were, but it was allowed here. No. You worship how you want to worship. You're free to worship here. This is a safe place. Build your church. Go worship. Now, safety is good, isn't it? I want to be safe. Don't you want to be safe? You want your family to be safe? It's good. But, you know, when I first got back from Iraq, you know how absurdly observant I was in every single social setting? I would stand with my back to the wall. No matter what I was doing, I could be at the mall, I could be at a sports bar. My eyes are open and I'm looking around and I'm assessing people at all times, absurdly observant. Fast forward 20 years later, I'm not a fraction as observant as I was. Now, don't get me wrong. I try to be eyes open, try to sit with my back to the door, but not a fraction as observant as I was. Now, why the difference? Because I had just come from a place where a bunch of people were trying to kill me. Now, I've lived for 20 years and they're not trying to kill me anymore. It breeds complacency. and softness. I'm going to take the boys out. Ob's gone. I'm taking the boys out for dinner after the show tonight. We're going to go get a pizza or something, go get some kind of late night dinner tonight. Am I going to individually observe every single person in the pizza joint and see, is that guy, does he look crazy? Is this guy getting drunk and violent? Does this guy look like he might, am I going to do that? Probably not. Because it's been safe. Because I've been safe. That same thing happened to American Christians, American Christianity, and Jews, to be honest with you, Chris. I don't think you people got out of this either. Same thing has happened. It's been a safe place, a place where you can worship without fear. There are places, I remember a story a couple years back, a bunch of Christians were beaten to death on the way to church in Egypt. They knew they were going to church. They just gathered around them with sticks and beat them all to death. Places all over Africa to this day where Christians are being genocided. If you were to talk to those people about America's laissez-faire, live and let live, turn the other cheek Christianity, they would laugh in your freaking face. That slipped into our churches here because it's been safe and easy to be a Christian here. No one's going to persecute you, not until the Biden administration at least. No one's going to persecute you. No one's going to beat you to death. No one's going to... And it's bred softness. And so now you have pastors who don't even think they're doing anything wrong. They'll sit up there, oh, we don't need to be political. We're not going to talk about... Look, we don't want to talk about gay marriage. Let's not offend anybody. No, we're not going to bring up abortion. Immigration? Jesus would want everyone here. You know who speaks like that? A soft, weak, pathetic human being who has lived a very safe existence his entire life. There's not a single church in some godforsaken backwater in Africa who's about to be hacked with a machete who would ever speak like that. America's feminized Christianity has bred this kind of complacency. Chris, play this again from Tim Kaine. The United States of America in the year 2025 has one of its two major political parties that has declared open war on the Christian church.
The notion that rights don't come from laws and don't come from the government, but come from the Creator, that's what the Iranian government believes. It's a theocratic regime that bases its rule on Shia law and targets Sunnis, Baha'is, Jews, Christians, and other religious minorities. And they do it because they believe that they understand what natural rights are from their Creator. So the statement that our rights do not come from our laws or our governments is extremely troubling.
It's troubling to Tim Kaine that you would ever, ever seek out a power higher than him. He views himself as your God, your king, your ultimate ruler. And anyone you look to who you put above Tim Kaine, he considers that to be an enemy. He considers that to be a threat to his rule, a threat to his kingship, a threat to his very existence. Why do you think they sent FBI agents into the church? Why do you think the communists did that? What a weird thing to do, right? That's not something you do. Why did they do that? Why do you think these tranny shooters, why do you think it's Christian and Catholic schools that keep getting shot up all the time? Why do you think that is? They know who their enemy is. They know it. They have declared it, and they fight it as if it's their entire existence. They are already fighting a war. They're already fighting it. And you don't get a say. Neither do I. We don't want any guns here. It wouldn't be right. You heard me go off about this when those Jews had that animal in Colorado throw Molotov cocktails on them. I think he burned some old woman to death, didn't he, Chris? I think she passed away. Yes, she did. And I went off about this. And you could call it insensitive. How in the world is a group of Jews ever gathering without being armed? The most persecuted people in the history of the world, and you think you can just gather without arms? No. Start making swords and start acting like you're at war because you are. The communists decided it. You didn't. Let's move on from that. We'll talk about everything from Stalin. Someone wants to talk Stalin. Someone wants to know how I ended up in Houston. Someone wants to know what China's military parade. Are we going to fight them? And what my favorite baseball team is. All that and so much more still to come. Now, I want you to go look at gold prices today. Don't take my word for it. I want you to go look again at gold prices today. Please stop putting off calling Goldco. The reason gold prices are going up so high, there's two of them. One, the market thinks there are going to be problems. You see the unemployment numbers today? The market thinks there are going to be problems, and nation states are buying up as much as they can in anticipation of something bad happening. Don't be the one holding the bag without any precious metals in your retirement. Let Goldco handle it. At least get a kit, a free kit. They send a free copy of their 2025 gold and silver kit. At least get that and read up on it. Please read up on it. Protect what you worked your whole freaking life for. 855-817-GOLD or go to jessielikesgold.com. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. So now let us begin with some other things. Jesse, Stalin was a Stalinist, not a communist. His stated goal was national expansion in all directions. Communism was just the fist he used to clear a way forward, so on and so forth. Anyway, all the best to you and yours. This person was not in any way, you know, criticizing. They were just saying Stalin was a Stalinist and not a communist. And I wanted to talk about this because it's important we understand something that we try to talk about a lot on the show, the difference between elite communists and street communists, because there is a huge difference we have to understand. Elite communists. When I talk about that, I'm talking about politicians. Virtually every Democrat, people in the media, people in Hollywood, these people who are powerful, wealthy, famous. These people, for the most part, are not committed communists. They are not people who have read Karl Marx, who believe passionately about all the different parts of communist filth. They are people who are interested in money and power. They're interested in money and power, getting more of it for themselves. That is their main interest. They choose to pretend to be communists, because for a lot of people, depending on the situation, that's the easiest route to money and power. If you were, let's go to the Bronx. That's where AOC represents. Let's set aside your morals for a moment. Set aside your morality for a moment. Let's say you wanted money and power, and that was your driving force in life. That's your driving force. That's what you care about. Now, what's the best way to get that if you're in the Bronx? And maybe you are right now listening to me on 710 WOR. What's the best way to get that? Politics. It's the easiest way, I should note. Granted, you could always go to school and try to find a way to be wealthy. I said go to school, but start your own business, find a way to be independently wealthy in that way. But even that, it may make you wealthy, but won't necessarily make you powerful. If you want money and power, and more importantly to a lot of these people, fame, you have got to put yourself in the political game. Now, you're in the Bronx, something crazy like 80% Democrat. Are you going to run on being a Second Amendment person? Hey, I'm pro-life, low taxes, I believe in God. How are you going to run? No. You better sell communism. The people around you, the voters in your area, are filthy, dirty communists. And so if in your search for money and power, that's what you're going to have to sell. Now, let's say you brought up Stalin. In Russia, it was Russia before it was the Soviet Union. In Russia, the czars had ruled for 300 years, roughly. They'd ruled for 300 years. The people were sick of it. The people hated them. They were tired of a lot of things, tired of the conditions of the country, tired of the war. It was World War I, tired of this, tired of that, tired of this, tired of that. And people began to rise up and fight against it. Now, if you're a person seeking money and power and fame, and you're in Russia at the time, and you can look out and see, I think the days of czars might be numbered. I think these Bolsheviks, I think they're going to end up winning. Whose side are you going to join? If you have no morality against it, whose side are you going to join? Elite communists are rarely, rarely committed believers. We love to, it's a very common thing on the right to point out hypocrisy of somebody like John Kerry or Bill Gates. They're always trying to take away fossil fuels. They call them fossil fuels, of course. Trying to take away fossil fuels and take away your SUV and cow farts are evil. And then we'll point out, hey, he was just eating a tenderloin on a private jet. What a hypocrite. He doesn't believe in any of that stuff. He doesn't believe in any of that stuff. Even Bill Gates doesn't believe in any of that stuff. He believes in acquiring more money and more power. And by selling a belief in that stuff, he is able to acquire more money and more power. Elite communists are always just people interested in themselves. They're not ideological. They're just people interested in money and power. They are the ones you should truly, truly hate. And honestly, I know we don't like street communists, all the feminists and Black Lives Matter types and those types, Antifa and whatnot. I don't like them either. But most of those people are just idiots. Confused. Usually had a bad upbringing of some kind, drugs, mental health issues. The true believers of communism, the people out gluing themselves to, Monet paintings and things like that, they honestly, in the back of your head, they should receive some mercy and grace. Now, we should still throw them in a cage for 10 years for doing what they do. Don't get me wrong, but while you're throwing them in a cage, you should feel bad for them. They're really dumb, really mentally twisted people. The Democrat in your life, your mom, who's been voting Democrat 80 years, she thinks Donald Trump's the spawn of Satan. She's somebody whose mind has been poisoned for years by the elite communists on the news who don't believe a single thing they're selling her. That's the truth. I want your mind to work better and my mind to work better. And that's why I want you to get yourself a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack from Chalk. And I want you to set a reminder, a calendar reminder. A calendar reminder in 90 days, I want you to email me. And I want you to tell me what has changed in your life, how you feel. The emails I get about Chalk bless me to no end. Because people aren't sure. Natural herbal supplements. Oh, come on. What are those going to do? That's a placebo. What are those going to do? And then I get emails from people, Jesse, I've never felt better. Jesse, I've never had so much energy. Jesse, I just feel good all the time. Chalk will do that for you. If you don't feel better in 90 days, cancel your subscription and don't ever get it again. I'm asking you to. Chalk.com/Jesse. CHOQ.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'm sorry, I know I played it like five times last night. I have to play it again. It's one of my favorite sound bites of all time. It's like a minute long. James Carville is so exasperated by the insanity going on in the Democrat Party because he wants them to win elections, and he sees them continually committing political suicide. He's just so angry and desperate. He's stuttering. He's yelling. Here he was after they dragged some Indian chick out at the DNC to do a land acknowledgement that we're on stolen land. Here's how James took
it. Why are you bringing this up in an election? Okay? What we did, what all kinds of things, with slavery, with experiment with drugs, what we did during what happened in the Confederacy during the Civil War, and Andersonville, and it's okay. This is an election, and the DNC is not the place to discuss this. Understand this. The DNC does not exist to right wrongs. It doesn't exist to acknowledge the more unpleasant parts of history. It doesn't exist to make people feel good. It exists, get this through your head, to win elections. Now, do you think that is going to help us win elections talking about land theft from the Dakotas? We're not. Please stop this in the name of a just, merciful God. Don't you see what's happening? Don't you see where this has brought us to? For God's sakes, lady, what is Ken Martin doing that? You don't have but one job, Ken. It's to win. You're supposed to try to win elections.
He's so mad. He's so exasperated. Please stop this in the name of a just, merciful God.
Please stop this in the name of a just, merciful God.
All right. Sorry. It's Friday and I'm in a great mood. By the way, would you like to know the bracket, the countries involved in our crappiest countries in the world?
It's the 2025 Crappiest Country in the World competition.
I'm going to give you the opening round matchups. Monday will just be for one matchup, but the opening round matchups. First round, Zimbabwe takes on North Korea. Rwanda takes on Bangladesh. South Sudan takes on France. That could be an upset. Haiti takes on Yemen. God only knows who wins that. Niger takes on Somalia. I mean, flip a coin. Sudan versus the Congo. Pakistan versus India. This is one that could have been the championship, but there's nothing I can do about it. They're meeting in the first round. And now they're going to have to work it out. And finally, Afghanistan takes on Italy. We'll see who wins. But that's Monday it begins. The tournament of tournaments. Now let's get back to some serious matters. Dear Jesse Jetbelly, China's recent military parade was pretty impressive. Do you think we will ever go to war with China? And what do you think it would look like? Okay, so first of all, when it comes to military parades, We touched on a little bit of this earlier about what the communist does well. We have to acknowledge when our enemy does something well, and oftentimes we have to copy it. The communist organizes well. He gathers groups of people well. He understands. Remember this, he always approaches things as if he is out of power, as if he has no power, because it's a revolutionary religion. And that's how it began. They were out of power. And so communists to this day, we call them Democrats, communists to this day approach everything as if they're out of power. Now, if you don't have actual power, physical power, you oftentimes need numbers and you need violence, but we'll set that aside for now. You need numbers. You need a group. If there is the UFC heavyweight champion of the world, and he's standing out in front of your house, and he says, "I'm going to come in, and I'm." Let's say you don't have a gun. I'm going to come in, and I'm going to beat up your wife. And you're not going to be able to stop him. You and probably two buddies aren't going to be able to stop him. What do you need? Numbers. You need 10 friends. Then you'll be able to get him, probably. You'll be able to get him. Numbers. The communist is excellent at organizing groups, in mobilizing groups for any cause. He's very, very good at it. Always has been very good at it. It's essential. It's part of their doctrine. They are trained. Go get people. Organize. Now, expand that to a country that ends up being governed by communists like China does. Do you remember when China hosted the Olympics? I think it was the Summer Olympics. And I'm not a huge Olympics person, I'll be honest with you. So I don't remember. It wasn't that long ago, probably less than 20 years ago. China organized, they were hosting the Olympics. And the opening ceremony, I know because Ob loves the Olympics, we always have to watch. The opening ceremony, it was jaw-dropping. And honestly, I know it's an Olympics opening ceremony. It was a little bit intimidating. How in sync they were, the production. It was a wow factor. Yeah, Chris remembers it. If you don't remember it, go look it. I guarantee it's on YouTube or something like that. Go look it up. This is a long way of saying China's always going to do a good military parade because the communist organizes well, groups people up well, and their complete lack of respect for human dignity, lack of respect for the citizen, it actually helps them with things like opening ceremonies and parades. Oh, you dropped your baton? I guess we'll shoot your mother in the head. That kind of thing motivates people. It's not ideal. Like, you don't want to live in a country like that. I don't want to live in a country like that. But it is an effective way to motivate people. Communists are herd animals, and they learn to move as a herd. Where the herd is going, your liberal Aunt Peggy goes. And that herd mentality, it makes it easier for elite communists to organize things like parades and to organize things like social movements. Communists organize better than the right does because we are more naturally individuals. Individuals. I hate people telling me what to do almost to probably all the way to a childish extent. You've heard me do it on the radio before. If somebody emails me and tells me to stop talking about something or don't do something, I'll dedicate an entire segment to it. Yeah. If someone tells me to talk about something, you won't talk about this. I'll never talk about it again. You don't get to tell me what to do ever. That is a very common mentality to some extent on the right. I don't want to be told what to do. And I like that we have that. I don't want to be a herd animal. And I don't want you to be a herd animal. You think for yourself. But we struggle to organize oftentimes because of it. We don't group as well. China is always going to put on a fancy military parade. But always keep in mind, if you have to put a little a smiling face on all this, all that fancy-looking military hardware, it was made in China. And that's more than just, you know, an old cliche. Stuff that's made in China sucks. They don't have the same standards at all. In fact, I have a little story about that. And then we'll talk about war with China next. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, going through all of your questions. It's been a great show. It's been a great week. Put a smile on your face. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Now back to the other part of the question. Do I think we will ever go to war with China? What do I think that would look like? You know, there's a thing, you see this sometimes in nature, where animals, even if they fight, they won't take it too far. And they won't take it too far because if they take it too far, it can mean the death of both of them. Look, I'm going to use some examples here, and there are exceptions on it, but two grizzlies squaring off. Two male grizzlies. They're going to square off. to own the females in that territory. It's mating season. It's very common. You know, lions, tigers, bears, they all do this thing. The males fight to earn the right to the females. We don't have to go into any more depth than that. You get what I'm saying. And don't get me wrong, they do die on occasion. On occasion, they die. But if you've ever dug into this or watched stuff on it, I love that stuff. I grew up watching that stuff with my dad. If you ever watch it, they fight and it's loud and it's mean and they bleed. Someone gets an ear torn off. Someone might even lose an eye. But these gigantic, super powerful creatures full of claws and teeth and muscle and everything else, at some point in time, they stop. They stop and they walk away. You know what? That's it. Now, these are animals. These aren't human beings. Why? Because if those two bears take it too far, let's say one of them gets his jaw damaged, that bear is going to die now. There's no doctor. There's no ER. Let's say his paw gets severely damaged, maybe even bitten off or halfway off. That bear is probably going to die now, will not be able to track down, hunt food enough. So that understanding keeps them from taking it too far lots of the time. I know there are plenty of exceptions. They do die on occasion. I get that. But that understanding, that's the reason. Are we ever going to go to war with China? Some would say it's inevitable, and I'm not going to argue if you say that. Maybe it is inevitable. China believes they're in competition with us, and we know we're in competition with them too. There's a competition. It's a fairly open competition. But especially in the nuclear age, these gigantic superpowers, they're much more hesitant to go to war with each other because there's an understanding that an actual hot war, now when you have world-ending weapons, an actual hot war now, it's probably impossible to win for anybody. I mean, even if you're the one who comes out on top in the end, let's say we get into some, God forbid, hot war with China. And let's say it's a five-year thing, and on the back end, it's the Chinese coming to Washington, D.C. to sign over a peace agreement. America, you win. What does the United States of America look like at that point in time? With the missile capability, technology, EMPs. I'm not so sure that that's an inevitability. I think that there will be regional skirmishes that maybe, you know, Taiwan, China's not kidding about Taiwan, but I could see it be regional, a big hot war with China. It can't be won. And that goes for countries that aren't near as powerful as us, like Russia. We consider Russia to be a superpower, and of course they are a superpower, but Russia can't sniff us militarily. And economically, Russia's economy is the size of Texas's economy. You know that? Texas's economy. They're not a pimple on our behind when it comes to economics. But even a hot war with Russia, who actually wants it? They have the most nuclear weapons of any country on the planet. Even if we fought one and won. Or even if, God forbid, they fought one and one. What does Russia look like at the end of that? It's all a bunch of smoldering ruin. I know, nuclear weapons are terrible and all that, but in a way, they do bring about peace. In a way, they do. A certain level of peace comes with the fact that, hey, I've got this weapon right here. Don't make me pull out mine. I know you'll pull out yours. It brings peace with it. Jesse. I see ex-Yankee Mark Teixeira, I think that's how you say his name, Mark Teixeira, running for Congress in Texas. And knowing you were a Giants fan, who's your favorite Major League Baseball team? Well, I was a Giants fan. I don't watch the NFL anymore. I'm not watching that crap with all the end racism in the end zone and stuff. But I get it that you do. There's no judgment here. I miss it. I do. So when it comes to professional sports, I've discovered something as I go through life. And everyone hates me for this. And you're about to hate me for this too. What's with loyalty? Listen, Chris, I moved to Houston, and I'll go over that story here in a minute. I moved to Houston. I'd never lived in a city that had a professional baseball team. This is 8-9 years ago. The Astros were good. We started going to Astros games. They were in the playoffs. I decided, I like this team. I'm an Astros fan now. Lifelong fan. What, Chris? What? Chris said it doesn't feel as good when you just acquire a new team. No, Chris, it feels great when you brag to your friends about how my team is better than your team and your team sucks. And I acquired the Houston Astros as my favorite team 8-9 years ago whenever we moved here because they were good. And now that's my team. I grew up a Chicago White Sox fan of all things. Don't ask why, because I don't remember. I knew I liked Frank Thomas. He was my favorite player, but that's the reason why. Also, I need you to switch to Pure Talk for me. Before we get on to the Churchill Bunker, my story, California, and other things, I need you to switch up your phone service. You don't need AT&T, T-Mobile, or Verizon. I understand for most people, turning off the NFL is a bridge too far. I got it. But everybody can switch their cell service. Everybody. 10 minutes on the phone to stop funding companies who hate your guts. What's 10 minutes? You can do that before I come back and give you my story about moving to Houston and garbage like that. 10 minutes. Switch to the cell phone company that loves you. The cell phone company that loves America above all. Pure Talk. Pick up your phone because they have a special right now. If you switch now, you get to save an additional 50% off your first month. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast.